I invite you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. A child, a scorner, a backwoods town, a prostitute, and you are all called to glorify God in your body. Today, you are faced with a shady character, a prostitute. This is not a person that you would choose to represent you. This is not a person that you would choose to represent a movement. This is not a person that you would choose to represent a religion. But she is listed among those who you and me think of as heroes of faith. She, along with everyone in that list, show what faith did in all ages, under all circumstances in their lives. She is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. You cannot get five verses into the New Testament without seeing her name. She got there by faith. Today, we're going to look at a remarkable woman who is seen protecting the enemy and receiving the promise. And she, along with the people of God, acquire the possession for the people of God. Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want you to consider this remarkable woman. Consider her story and how she is mentioned, not just among those of faith, but in the very genealogy of Jesus. And she got there not based on who she was, not based on what she had done, but she got there by faith. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you that you impute faith into us. You give us the faith to believe. You give us the faith to come out from the world and to be separate, holy, even as you are holy. Lord, we thank you for the account of this one woman. A shady character transformed by your marvelous grace. May her story impact each of our stories. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. She was indeed a remarkable woman. The scripture tells us there in the first part of verse 1 that two spies are sent. Immediately you're thinking back 40 years earlier to a similar situation in which not two but 12 spies were sent, one representing each tribe. But these two spies aren't sent in the same manner as those original spies. The mission then was to determine if the land could be taken. The mission now is to determine the best way to take the land, the best way to enter the land. This king of Jericho, he's informed. He's informed that men from Israel have come among them, have entered the gate, and are within the walls of the city. And this king sought to use Rahab as an agent of the government. Isn't it interesting that a woman of her repute, a woman of her occupation, where in most societies her occupation is illegal, and this king of Jericho is wanting to use her as an agent of the government. It's no mistake that her home is built within the wall. It's no mistake that she had access to many within that city. She had knowledge of many within that city, and the king knew her reputation. He knew the knowledge that she had of those in the city. And the king wanted to use that for Jericho's own national security. Rahab as patriotic as she may have been in the past, on this occasion, put her own life on the line. She could have chosen to be a good patriotic citizen. She could have chosen to be loyal to her earthly physical king, but she chose to put her life on the line. Why? For the sake of these men of God. She knew that there was something different about these two men than the other men who came through her home. She knew there was something different about these two men than the other men in her own city. The people of her own tribe, her own city-state, her own nation. And she puts her life on the line. She lied to her own people. She protected Jericho's enemies. You should certainly obey the authorities who have rule over you. You have a responsibility to be the most law-abiding citizen of the land. But when the laws of the state conflict with God's revealed will, then you have no choice but to obey God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. Acts chapter 4, verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John knew that civil authorities were placed over them. But they knew that God was over those civil authorities. They knew that in circumstances in which the civil authorities were giving righteous and godly decrees, they were to obey. But they also knew that when those civil authorities demanded that they disobey the will of God, that they had a responsibility to obey the command of God. This woman, this remarkable woman that we see here, she's not an Israelite. She's not from the people of God. She doesn't have the law. She didn't know Moses. She hadn't come out of Egypt. But like Paul said to the Romans, like Paul said in his letter to the Romans, she had the law written on her heart. There was something different about these men. There was something different about the people from whom these men came. And so she protects the enemy. Back to chapter 2 of Joshua, verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came up out of Egypt, and what ye did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto me, unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they that have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Rahab was speaking on behalf of the people of Jericho. She shares what they had heard about the God of Israel and how he had acted on behalf of his people. Think about the events that she shares and that the people of Jericho had heard. Think about the event that stirred fear in the hearts and minds and lives of the people of Jericho. It was the parting of the Red Sea. How long ago was that? The Red Sea was parted 40 years ago. This wasn't an event. It wasn't the stopping of the Jordan that she brings up. It was the parting of the Red Sea. It would seem natural in my mind, and possibly in yours, for her to bring up the parting, the stopping of the Jordan. But she goes all the way back to the Red Sea, the part of the Red Sea, 40 years prior. They've been hearing about what this God of the Israelites has done on behalf of his people for 40 years. For 40 years, God had been stirring up fear in the hearts of the people of Jericho and Canaan. Now, to be sure, God had given opportunity for the people of Canaan to repent. He had given opportunity for the people of Jericho to turn to him. You remember what God told Abraham? God told Abraham that his seed would be strangers in a foreign land for 400 years. In the fourth generation, they would come again. Turn with me to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, 12 through 16. Genesis 15, verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know ye of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Abraham's told that his seed are going to live in a foreign land, in Egypt, that they're going to serve the Egyptians for 400 years. But in the fourth generation, they're going to come out. And it's going to take until the fourth generation, because the sin of the Amorites is not yet full. That was 420 years before Israel passed through the Red Sea. God gave Abram this vision, this prophecy, this message, 420 years before his descendants would cross through the Red Sea on dry land. God gave Canaan 420 years to repent. That was certainly long enough. Then God extended the time of his patience another 40 years. It was 420 years from the time Abram received the promise to the time that the spies went into the land. Those original 12 spies. And they came out and said, we can't take it. 10 of them at least came out and said, we can't take it. There are giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers. So God made Israel circle the wilderness another 40 years. God gave the Amorites, he gave the Canaanites, he gave Jericho another 40 years so they could hear how he delivered his people from Egypt. How much time do you need to turn to him? They had 460 years. How much time do you need to turn to the Lord? Though the people of Jericho were unmoved from their sin, this woman feared God. Think about the contrast here. Jericho is unmoved. Rather than hearing about what God had done for his people Israel, rather than hearing about how God had parted the Red Sea, rather than hearing how the children of Israel had passed through the Red Sea on dry land, rather than hearing all that God did during those 40 years of wilderness wanderings and turning to God, they were just gripped with fear. They were gripped with trepidation. They were unmoved. But this woman, this remarkable woman, protecting her people's enemies, this woman feared God. Her people were gripped with terror. She was gripped with reverence. What are you gripped by? Are you gripped by terror? Or are you gripped by reverence? She opened her home. She hit the spies. She lied to the civil authority. She spoke with the spies. She pleaded for mercy and grace. Rahab was exhorted to obey the God of Israel. Rahab was exhorted to obey the God of Israel. And in hearing that exhortation, she receives the promise. Look back at Joshua chapter 2, verse 15. Joshua chapter 2, verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was built upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Rahab heard. Rahab believed. Rahab acted. We read of her in James. I referenced her being mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus and how we cannot get 5 verses into the New Testament without reading of this remarkable woman. She heard, she believed, and she acted on her belief. James also wrote, you believe God, you do well. But the demons also believe and they shudder. The spies gave the word of the Lord. They declared the manner whereby she must meet God. Turn with me to Hebrews 11, 31. Hebrews 11, 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Let's read that one more time. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. The spies gave her the word of the Lord, declaring the manner whereby she must meet God. You and me do not choose. You and me do not dictate the terms whereby we meet God. Cain tried to dictate the terms. How'd that work out for him? Nadab and Abihu tried to dictate the terms. How did that work out for them? Ananias and Sapphira tried to dictate the terms by which they met God. How did that work out for them? These spies declared the word of the Lord to Rahab. They gave her the terms whereby she was to meet God. She did not choose the terms on her own. She did not dictate the terms. She received the terms from these men. She heard, she believed, she acted upon her belief. She showed her faith according to God's terms. And because she showed her faith according to God's terms, she is included in the possession for the people of God. Because she showed her faith according to God's terms, she, along with Israel, received the possession that is reserved for the people of God. Verse 22. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. What a difference we see. 40 years earlier, Joshua and Caleb alone gave a good report. 10 spies gave a wicked report. 10 spies gave a report of terror, which resulted in Israel wandering the wilderness for 40 more years. But now, these 2 spies go in. The question isn't whether they're going to take the land. The question is, what's the best way to enter the land? The people are about to possess the promise given to Abram. The people are about to possess the promise given to Abram. But remember last week, God promised them 300,000 square miles. And they never possessed more than a tenth of that. God promised them everything from the Euphrates to the Mediterranean. To use the terminology that we hear on TV, God promised Israel everything from the river to the sea. And those we hear on TV are trying to invert that, to give God's promise to Israel, to Israel's enemies. J. Vernon McGee rightly states that the spies promised to spare all of her, that is, all of Rahab's family, is with her in her house when Jericho is attacked. And if the king of the city of Jericho had turned to God, now hear this out. The spies gave Rahab the promise to spare all of her family that's in the house with her. You remember the conversation between the spies and Rahab? If anybody goes out of the house, if anybody goes out of your house and is found in the street, their blood will be on their own head. But as long as they're in the house, if something happens to them, their blood is on the spies and on Israel's hands. The promise was to spare her, to spare her family. And J. Vernon McGee even goes it a step further and says, if the king of the city of Jericho had turned to God, he would have been saved. The whole city could have been spared if they had believed in God. Fast forward to another book of the Bible. Only four chapters. Jonah, the only Old Testament prophet that God ever sent to a Gentile people. Jonah, the reluctant prophet, preaches in Nineveh, calling the people to repent. The king on down, repent. And God spared Nineveh. If the king of Jericho and the people of Jericho had joined Rahab in her house, they would have been spared. Where are you today? Where are you today? Are you in the street as a sitting duck, about to be attacked and judged? Are you in the house with this remarkable woman and unlikely hero of faith? There's really only one of two places that the spies say that you could be. You're either in the street as a sitting duck awaiting to be attacked and judged, or you're in the house with this remarkable woman and unlikely hero of faith. She's not the only unlikely hero of faith. Remember the introduction? A child. John read to you about that child. He heard a voice calling his name. He runs to Eli. I didn't call you. He hears a voice calling his name. He runs to Eli. I didn't call you. He hears a voice calling his name. Eli says, wait a minute. God's calling you. If you hear it again, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. In the scripture that you'll hear, that we'll hear in a few minutes, we're going to hear about a scorner, Nathanael. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? We're going to hear about a backwoods town, Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Whether it's the child Samuel, Nathaniel, Nazareth, this prostitute, this remarkable woman, or you and me, we are called to glorify God in our body. As Paul said to the Corinthians, do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that your sin separates you from the holiness of God? Will you today confess your sin? Will you repent? Surrender to Jesus today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Lord, we thank you that you give us much more time than we deserve. Lord, you could have easily commanded Israel to just take over Jericho without ever sending the spies in. And you could have accomplished a great victory on behalf of your people. But you chose to send those spies in. You chose to call out this woman, to call out her family, to separate them from the heathen people of their origin, and to include them in your people, to give them the possession that belonged to your people. Lord, we thank you that you didn't judge us in our sin, but you sent your son Jesus to preach the kingdom. To call us unto you, unto himself. To bid us deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow you. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, the very preaching of the gospel is a judgment call. Judging our sin as sin, as separation from you. And the gospel is also hope. Because in the declaration of judgment, you withhold from us the physical judgment that we deserve. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And we pray, Lord, that your mercy and your grace would extend to those who hear this sermon and have never surrendered to you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.